to look.
Call a meeting to order. Compliance with open meeting law?
Yes.
All right.
Good, let's say.
I need approval of the agenda if there's no changes.
If you have the amended one, that's. If you have the amended one, Kathy, I emailed it.
Who she left you?
Hey!
It's got, no, you definitely didn't.
It's just find your own driver under scheduling fees, so it's only one little thing.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep. I'll make the motion to accept. Second, I guess you made the motion.
Yeah, I got a motion and a second.
On the amended agenda.
Amended agenda, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, public comment slash communication.
Oh, I think we missed approval.
Oh, approval of minutes, I'm sorry.
If I can just ask one thing, because Della's new and she doesn't, you know everybody as well. So when you make a motion, if you could just either show her your name or say your name a little bit.
I kind of got this side down.
Make it easier, yeah, she probably knows. Thank you. Okay, Mark, go ahead.
I have a.
A change?
Yes.
Okay.
I go to, toward the end. We show that I made a motion and Lester seconded it to go into closed session. And then afterwards, we show that I and Lester made a motion to adjourn, but we've got to show that we came out of closed session. Otherwise, we've been stuck in closed session since the last meeting, so.
You're only stuck in it for 24 hours.
So with that change or addition, I'll.
Approve.
Yes.
Approve it.
Thank you. I can't go back and look at, are the minutes, did you restart that so I can see? I guess it's probably recorded, the open session? Did you restart the meeting after that?
I don't remember if I was running. Looks like it's in front of me.
Because I wasn't here.
I think.
To be honest with you, Mark, you can adjourn from closed session without a motion.
But we did.
But we can, I understand what you're saying. I would say.
I think Nathan might have a.
Let me look.
Nate probably took care of it.
I had Nate ask Nate, so I will look, yeah, I'll look and see.
And add that for correction.
You made that motion, now you need a second.
Yes. I'll second.
Okay, motion made, second, for change, approve of minutes, all reported. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, public comment slash communication.
I don't think we have anything on that today, at least I don't, if anybody else talked to anybody.
Okay. Number six, LXD reports or activities.
The SNAP resolution was something that Nate had taken to exec or board. SNAP resolution.
So far.
So. That's just, I think several counties are asking for a resolution because the Medicaid cuts will, or the SNAP cuts are going to cause more expense to the state and more expense to the local counties in terms of admin. And I think, I don't remember exactly, I think it was.
It's asking for the state to fund it.
50%. Do you know what the cost, the increased cost would be? Not sure. So anyway, he just did a resolution. So I just wanted to make you aware of that.
Depends on the county and the number of services that they.
Okay. So just be aware that the county was looking at that. So, because there will be an additional expense if that, if the state doesn't take on that administration money. And then the car show went very, very well. We had a beautiful day. Talked to a lot of people. I thought it was really nice. The residents seemed to really, really like it. It's very heartwarming to see the residents. Some of them, even the ones that, you know, don't have a lot of verbal skills anymore, they're pushed down and then they see a car and they recognize that car and they point at it and they get pretty excited by it. And it's, it, that was just, that was very cool. And so we got to collaborate a little bit with them. We had some additional marketing money, so we were able to provide some music, and they loved that. And so it was a really, it was a really nice afternoon for them, and for the public. We had several people not connected to Orchard Manor too stop by, and including a couple from Galesville that just happened to see it as they were driving down the highway. So they stopped in and were asking me, and they're like, we talk, we use our ADRC a lot, so it's kind of nice. So
how many cars did you have?
I didn't count them, so I actually don't know.
At least 50% more than they've had.
Oh, good.
I would say it was all the way to the other.
Yeah,
it was a good,
had a good day.
Hell, the weather was absolutely beautiful. I mean, I was hot, of course. But it was, everyone else seemed to enjoy it. It was a beautiful day.
Okay. You want to skip 7, go to 8, or forget the budget for the year? No, I'm not.
Yeah.
Sure.
That'd be nice if we could all do that.
It's the worst time of year.
I did bring the upcoming events. I just wanted to make sure I mentioned that, too. I'll just pass that around. So if you want a copy of it, we can get you one after the meeting. So, so we'll get right into the budget. You guys, I believe, have it in your packet. I hope you do. So how do you want to do this? Do you want to go through each program and just look at it and ask questions if you need to? Or do you want to just ask questions right now? And how, what's your preference here?
My question, I guess, is there any specific that's going to be a lot different than this last year?
Well, yes, because of it being the standalone ADRC, there's kind of a lot of unknown there. It's a little unclear the revenue that we will get, and it's unclear what additional expenses we may have that we aren't anticipating, just because a lot of those were covered by the regional office. So while we know some of them, I'm sure there's going to be things we don't know. So if you look at, I'm about $14,679 more than last year. However, my gut feeling is that we will have money in ADRC. But as I have repeatedly told you, they're changing the time reporting, and that's where we get half of our grant. And they are doing a pilot project this fall, and then they're going to implemented in July of next year. We don't have the regular reports accurate yet. Our EBS reports are, they seem to be in flux. Nobody seems to have those figured out. So my plan is, when we talk to our regional quality specialist next week, I'm going to tell them to relay to the state team that I don't think we should be implementing time reporting when we don't have regular reports done, because that time reporting has to match up to our reports as well. And if they don't have, if they can't get the regular reports right, the time reporting is going to be. So that concerns me. So maybe it'll, I'm a worrier, so maybe it'll be fine. I hope it will. But I expect that we'll have a little bit of money there, but I also expect that we're going to have some things that are not budgeted for, such as marketing and probably some more admin things. I mean, we know we're going to take on, and we're just, until we get probably through a good 6 months of it, not going to really know. I have not met with the state on the ADRC budget yet. Hopefully, maybe they can give me a little more perspective. I've been told that they are reviewing the application tomorrow. And then I have a meeting with Rhonda, who is our regional quality specialist, on the 25th. However, Rhonda's retiring at the end of the year too, so. I feel like everybody. Yeah, so I'm like, great.
The additional position.
There is no, well, the DCS position.
That
yes.
is under 80s ERC.
Yes.
Right near the end.
And the additional dementia care specialist position is under ADRC, and it is budgeted at full time. And then I budgeted the revenue from Iowa County and the GPR from Iowa County as well, or the FFP, sorry, the additional match. We are in process of, I'm going to send that MOU off to Ben Woods. Tom and I have come to an agreement, and then hopefully both counties will agree with what we have. So yes, that is included in there. And if you look at that ADRC budget, it's the very last one. It's going to look like I've got $55,681 left, but there's so many things in flux in this budget. If you go back up to Ben's spec, I've got $55,953 expenses left. So that's going to balance. Hopefully that will balance out. That EBS position, which is the Ben spec in here, will be merged into ADRC. It is right now, but it's never been on our side. So we'll actually, when we allocate that funding to the ADRC, then we can draw the match on it. If it stays an aging program, like it was years ago when I came on board, it didn't draw any match, but we merged it with the ADRC. I don't know how many years it's been. And then it can draw a little bit of a match. So it's a better deal because we get a little more money back. So it looks like in here it's a separate budget, but it really, when all of this becomes a reality, it'll get merged in, I think. But I left it separate because I don't know how the state actually does that yet. So maybe there's still some aging dollars that come into it, SHIP, MIPA, SPAP, and then the aging grant itself. So I'm not sure if we do have to track that separately. So that's why I've left it separately. So that's a little confusing, but but right now I see that as being fully incorporated, and that should make us pretty much even with ADRC and FENSPEC. So nutrition, I'm a little worried about. If you heard me talking about the grocery prices, that made me a little nervous last night, because when the grocery prices get that high, our numbers could go up. We just met yesterday with a new person at GWAR. We were talking about the revitalization project. The revitalization project that Courtney had piloted and is on the work group for is working. We have seen a reduction in home delivered, and we have seen an increase in congregate. So it's doing what it's supposed to do. And our waiting list,
there's no one on it right now.
Yeah, so that has helped. But I don't have a magic, eight ball that'll tell me where whether the food prices are going to increase anymore. We've got contracts for June. They can be adjusted in July with the consumer price index. But it's just hard to know. And it's hard to know how many people might show up at congregate if they start, if they can't afford groceries. So I don't know. It's kind of a crapshoot on that one. So, but we have adjusted it to reflect. So if you look at the congregate budget, it might look different from last year because those numbers are adjusting. So we're basing those on this year's numbers. So, and if you have any questions, the service management, you're going to see probably that show up now as support services, because that's really what it is. And some of our terminology in here has always been not right, in my opinion. So the service management is Older Americans Act, and it does have supportive services thrown into it, but the transportation for supportive services, we ask for a waiver because we use our DOT money. It's got Ben spec in it. We ask for a waiver because we use EBS and it folds with ADRC. We also ask for a waiver on, I think, information and assistance is in that, and I waiver that. So mostly what we use it for is outreach and awareness and administration expenses. And then obviously, you know, your congregate and your home delivered are the nutrition. The public awareness, again, is health promotion. So that's just the workshops that we're required to put out there. So we're doing like a mind over matter workshop coming up in November. That's a health promotion workshop. Our sale workshops over in Muscadet are our health promotion. That's a little bit of money that is just kind of a pain because there's no staffing for it. If they don't give us enough to staff it and we don't have staff. If we had staff doing those programs, we would lose the Medicaid match. So we just try to collaborate with others on those. Because it makes more sense budgetary-wise. The BEN spec is just the EBS, because the DBS, so the disability benefits specialist, is already in the ADRC budget. But this, so when it says benefit specialist here, that's just the EBS, and that will get folded into. And then, of course, the bus, the special transportation, that's the wheelchair van, the taxi, and the trips is the volunteer driver escort. So the taxi has 5311 funding. The rest is funding out of 8521. But I also use 8521 to fund a little bit of taxi. So it kind of makes that pretty much even. And then the family care and revenue and the Alzheimer's. And you don't have to take all the minutes.
Well, I got it.
The family care, NFCSP is the family caregivers, and then the AFCSP is the Alzheimer's. Those are both aging programs that Courtney oversees. So that's all Older Americans Act money. And Older Americans Act has not been reauthorized. So if you talk to your legislators, tell them we need that reauthorized and we need more money. And then Elder Fest, I have budgeted out the revenue separately, but that's going to get folded into ADRC too. We don't really need to have that be separate. So I'll work with the finance department once we're there to do some of that, but I didn't want that to look different. And then the ADRC program is all, that's where the ADRC state money and the match come in. Indirect expenses are not in here right now. I'm not sure. Had lots of conversations on that, so I'm not sure where we're going with that. So you may see that in the future, but that doesn't really make any difference to our budgets. So any questions? The dementia care specialist right now, as I said, with that MOU, we would have to hire for that position because right now it's a regional position. And we have sent the job description to the consultant, so it looks so they can place it, and then we can do that. So that will take governing body approval, but since I haven't gotten it back from Ben yet, you'll see that in the future. I'd like to get that. Tom Slaney from Health and Human Services, who I'm dealing with, is also retiring at the end of the month, so I was trying to push that faster than he's gone. Yes. I kind of feel sad.
Well, you know, those are people that you depend on.
Yeah.
For some
input. Tom's been a great partner for a lot of years. We have collaborated for a lot of years, and he's a good sounding board, and he's been around a long time too. And so I wish him well, but I kind of wish he wasn't going either. So it's just nice to have.
Get his telephone number.
Yes, exactly. All right. Any questions? I'd be happy to answer anything. All of the Older Americans money does require a match. Most of it, service management, as it's listed in here, new congregate, home delivered, is all. It's a 10% match, but it's a 10% match on the whole. So you just take it and divide it by 9, and then you get your match amount. Family caregiver is a more expensive match. That's at 25%. And then Alzheimer's actually I don't think actually that has a match because I've never had to do a match for that. So the good news with the new legislation is we'll find out actually tomorrow how that AFCSP match is going to work, because as I told you before, the reason I wanted to get that away from DSS, and they wanted it, they wanted those aging programs to stay together, was it benefited us because we could use it as a match for the National Caregiver Program, which has a higher match. So we could use a part of those funds, not all of it, but we could use a part of it to lower our levy costs there. But then they decided they were out of compliance, which had been quite some time because they've been doing it since I came here and probably before, but they decided they were out of compliance because it had income guidelines. And you can't have income guidelines with the Older Americans Act. So they passed new legislation to take those away, which is makes Courtney's job a lot easier. And we'll be able to use it as a match going forward. So what we've been told is we can use it immediately, but we're not sure what the parameters around that. So they're rolling that out tomorrow. So I think that will at least save us, I don't know, probably anywhere from $5,000 to $8,000, I don't know, maybe more. It's mostly respite that we can use to match back. So that was good news. And then the DOT, the 8521 does have a 20% match. Not on expenses, on the grant, just on the grant. So you have to, which is, so it comes out about, I don't know, it's usually around $25,000, $26,000. And ADRC does not have a match, other than we get the match, the Medicaid match.
Working on that budget thing, Laura?
Yeah, there's no questions.
There's no questions. We need a motion to approve the 2026 budget.
Motion to accept the 2026 budget as presented.
Second.
I'll second.
Motion made and second to approve the 2026 budget. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hey, nutrition.
Thank you. All right. Well, I snaggled Courtney today to have her come in since the meal cost was on the agenda. The meal cost is something we have to do every year. And submit it to GWAR in the state. So that has been completed. And then we have to set our costs based on that. It's always based on the previous year, though.
So we just take the previous year's expenses and revenue and try to figure out what our actual real cost is. So it includes meal site manager's time, any van drivers, my time. And then, you know, the cost of the food went up by $4, and then paper supplies and, you know, just everything that gets taken into account, any rent that we have to pay, utilities, our cell phones, all of it. So currently it's $15.55. And then after this year's meal cost, home delivered came out at $16.92 and congregate came out at $20.32.
What was that, Courtney?
The congregate.
Congregate, $20.32. So we are required then when we adopt this price, I guess, as we usually do it as of January 1. We have to post it at all of our meal sites. It has to be posted what the actual cost of the meal is, along with our suggested contribution. We usually put a little pie chart on there saying where our funding comes from so they can see how much we get federal and state, how much we rely on their donations.
And just put it all out. One of the reasons ours is higher is because of the amount of funds that Grant County does put into the program. Some counties do not. Some counties really rely on only just a little bit in that grant funding, and that's it. So theirs can stay a little bit, you know, lower because they can't serve as many people. But we have been able to serve, you know, a large amount of people because of the of the generosity, I guess, of the county. So with that, we also have to use that to determine the agency cost. So that's the cost of family care. If we continue to contract with family care, they do need to be, that is a negotiated rate, and they, and because it's Medicaid, so we have to charge them the full amount. However, because it's based on the year before, I have always been of the mind kind of that we should probably add to that. And this year I definitely am with food costs, because our food costs went up significantly. So my thought was, I'm just taking a guess here on the consumer price index for next year. But I would, well, actually that I think I use for this year. So I was looking at the agency cost being the $16.92, adding on to that cost, the 2.7 consumer price index cost, and arriving at the $17.38 rate. Because the family care does add to our volunteer load. They can provide their own meals. The one thing, that's the other thing I'm going to ask you to, if you talk to legislators, to advocate for, is family care doesn't have the same nutrition requirements that we do. So when they decide that our meal cost is too expensive and they just want somebody to come into the home and make a lunch, a soup and a half a sandwich, a canned soup and a half a sandwich can be adequate for that. They don't have any nutrition standards right now in place for their members. And I personally, as a aging director, think they should have the same standards. I mean, that's nutrition is still very important. It keeps people healthier, alleviates some chronic conditions. So I think that should be the case. But I am not sure that they'll go with this rate in past years when rates are high. And my stance is it's this rate or we don't contract with you, because I don't think we should be negotiating lower. Some counties do, and I don't understand that.
It takes time too if we are contracting. So they have to call me to authorize the meals, how many meals a week. We have to make sure there's not a wait list, because if there is, then we won't add them to our route. But then we have to track how many meals they have. Mariah has to bill them. So there's admin time that's involved as well that I think can be included in their costs.
There's also times when they've pulled somebody off and forgot to notify us.
Correct.
Do you want to talk about the fact that Dane County is no longer in a contract?
So we had a meeting last week, and it's for our regional training for nutrition staff. And Dane County is decided that they are no longer going to contract with any MCOs or IRIS moving forward because it's so time consuming. So I'm interested to hear how that plays out for them. I'm interested to hear how they get notified that someone's on an MCO, because sometimes people don't even realize, what that means. So how they get notified that someone's on, and then, their process. Are you cutting them off right away? Are you giving a week's notice? Letting them transition to get somebody in there. So I'm kind of using them as a pilot, I guess, and see how they do it, and see if that's something we need to look at. Because they're on a program so that they can get the services they need. So they should be helping provide meals, transportation, whatever services. And we have a lot of people who aren't on programs who still need those services. And I think that's where we should be focusing on.
Yeah.
People and who don't have a care manager that's there to take care of them.
And we don't make any additional, we don't make money on it at all. It's a flat. I'm anticipating even with that 2.7, it's still going to be a flat. It's not money making. So sometimes when I get on state calls and counties are talking about it, they look at it as a revenue maker, and I'm thinking it's not. If you really balanced out your costs, you're going to see it's just, that's your actual meal cost that you're using. That's literally it. So, we are probably at an all-time low. Yeah. I mean, that's why if you looked at the nutrition budget in 26, I had budgeted $75,000 for revenue from those family care agencies, and we're not close to that. We're actually at about $20,000, so I budgeted a lot less. That has circled around. They often, the prices, when our prices go up, they back off, but then lots of times they come back because they don't have a lot of resources out here either. So there's two things I guess I'd like you to decide on this. Do you want to continue with the contract? I will tell you right now, we only contract with Inclusive. We have not contracted with My Choice, and My Choice still orders some meals from us. They find a way to be out of network and do it, which I like, because then I'm not obligated to a contract.
But do the participants donate towards it?
No, because they're on family care, so it's
just ask.
Yeah, no, they don't. So there's no, because the full cost is paid by the family care program.
Get somebody else to do their dirty work.
Well, the ADRCs have always been seen within the state system as a great resource to have. Like, new programs pop up, they're always wanting to have the ADRC do it. And we're always trying to push back that, not without additional money and staff, because we're very, very busy. But yeah, that this is it, this is one avenue that has come up. So, but it's not something that you need. You can go ahead with the agency cost, and we can talk about it. I can have Courtney, after she gets more information, what Dane is doing, we can bring that back before. But I will start negotiating that rate towards the end of the year.
If they don't sign it, they don't sign it.
Right. And my feeling is they're not going to probably like that rate, but I can't lower it. If I lowered it, the county would actually be subsidizing family care, in my opinion, and that's not correct either. So there will be, so I will need to have action on the agency cost, and then the suggested donation, because our meal costs have gone up. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, because our meal costs have gone up, we were talking about maybe increasing the suggested donation price. It's $4. We changed it to $4 in March of 2022. So after COVID, we went from $3.50 to $4. Just with increases in prices in the last 3 years, I just think it's reasonable to go up to $4.50 at least. Whatever you guys want to talk about. In the region, I looked up Iowa County. Their Iowa and Lafayette, their congregate suggested donation is $5.50. Their home delivered is $6.50. I'm guessing they deliver more rural, so I'm thinking that's more fuel costs involved there. Greene County is $4.50. So those are the counties in our region. I also looked at Crawford County. They do a range, $4 to $6. That helps people, you know, maybe they can afford the $4, but then, you know, there's some people paying $4, but if you ask for $5 or $6, maybe they pay that. So that gives them the choice of what they can afford is doing. That I've seen has been more popular in the state. Vernon County, they're doing $5 to $7. So they also do that range. And Richland County is still $4.
What are you actually getting at the site?
So on the nutrition report, our average for congregate is $3.41 and home delivered is $3.18.
Okay.
And this is just from the regular public participants. So this doesn't include the family care. This doesn't include any of that. So at this time last year, they were both at $3.10. So it has increased minimally, but our costs have went up more than that.
Yeah, so the suggested donation isn't going to guarantee that we see an increase in the donations, because people, because of OAA, it just requires that we give them the opportunity to donate, and we can't, you know, we can't define that, but we should be suggested.
Yeah.
So. I guess the hope is that those that can afford to pay will pay a little more. Some do, I think. I mean, those look pretty good compared to years ago.
Have been, yeah.
So.
And I have a few people who are like, well, I'll just give five. And I was like, well, it's whatever, you know, you can give whatever's within your means. So I do think some do, but I think some also, just because it says four, they just give four,
yeah.
You know, which if that's what they feel like they can do, that's fine. But, you know what I mean?
Kathy, so.
Little perspective here. My brother and sister-in-law have both gone through surgeries. So we set up, I shouldn't say we, my daughter did, it lives in Colorado, set up a home delivery meal plan for them. So, and once a week they go online, they order whatever meals they want, they're
nice.
Delivered to their house, they put them in the fridge, and all they do is heat them in the oven.
Mm-hmm.
The meals are prepared by chefs. The nutrition information comes with them. And these meals, they're very capable of cooking and doing that, but the challenge right now, going to the grocery store, finding all the ingredients and doing all of that. They're eating, they make their own breakfast, but then for their supper, they each have one of these meals. And it costs them $12 for both. And most of the time they share a meal because there's so much. So, and when I was talking to my brother, he said, we know we're getting the nutrition. And he said, I can't believe how inexpensive it was. He would have, when it runs out, when their gift card runs out, they're looking at, until they're fully recuperated, doing that again. He said, why would we do that?
Do you know what service they're using?
But he said, I'd be willing to pay twice that amount
to
have that kind of quality food. So I understand that, you know, the how tough it's getting on a limited income. But if costs are increasing, I don't think anybody's going to argue the fact that it's a donation. It's not a demand. And I personally don't think that, if we raise it, $455 is, you can't go to McDonald's and eat for $5.
You're not.
Well, let's put it this way. You don't want to go there. So I don't think that's out of line at all.
$5. I think $5.
Yeah. I think it's an even.
I mean, where can you go? I mean, where you're not next to the store to buy the
food. Because
if you don't ask, you're not going to get it.
No.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's because we don't deliver outside of the city, huh?
Right. Yeah.
Are you
so
making,
that's my
are
thought.
You making a motion?
I'd make a motion that we raise the donation to $5.
Second.
Okay. Okay. Motion made. Second, raise a suggested donation to $5. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay, back to the agency costs. Do you want us to continue to pursue a contract with Inclusive for 26? And if you do, do you want it at that rate?
So what are our choices to send a contract with those numbers? If they turn it down, then what?
And that's it.
We don't contract with Inclusive.
But like I said, my choice is still found. I don't know how my choice figures it out. But well, when I asked one time, she said we just consider you an out-of-network provider.
And
so,
then they still pay the full cost. So,
and we tell them what the cost is, and we don't.
Yeah. So why would we submit the contract with our numbers if they say no?
Right.
How many do you know exactly? What our numbers are right now? I don't think it's very many.
It's not. I think August we had 211 meals. That's all together. So that's Iris, My Choice, and Inclusa out of the 8 meal sites. We used to be 450 to 520. I mean, we used to do a lot of family care meals. So we are down quite a bit.
Yeah, I don't think there's a whole lot left on there.
Mm-hmm. But again, that would help. We wouldn't have a wait list then. If some of these get off, our wait list, you know, would go down significant. We wouldn't have to worry about that at least until later.
Does it increase in the winter with the bad weather? Maybe some?
As far as, yes, I think just the public participants, yeah, just people. And then we've always got somebody fell, somebody needs them short term, you know, someone's not able to get out. So they do increase a little.
If you could get us the name, I'm interested in the name of the company that
I just looked it up. It's called Cook Unity.
Cook Unity. Because
they do, and the advantage, like Lester said, they live in the country.
Yeah.
So it's.
Well, and the state has suggested mom's meals and things like that, but in Homestyle Direct. But the problem with that is they come frozen and they're very bulky, and a lot of our
elderly cannot manage them. Like 4 or 5 days, they put them in the fridge, and
there's one of them that will only, I don't remember if it's mom's or Homestyle. We were talking about this. They'll only do like 2 weeks at a time. So then it's even worse, you know. Mm-hmm. If it's 1 week, it might be manageable, but this is once. But if that's if they deliver here, that's something I can put on my list of resources for people too.
Yes.
No, they're fresh. It's fresh
so that I can share it.
Yeah, because we like to share, like if they're not eligible or they don't, like they're not in the area, we like to be able to give that out. But I also think that could be the wave of the future. I mean, we're seeing a decline in volunteers.
That's
so we have to figure out that.
I'm thinking that.
But we know, you know, we've had people get mom's meals and they just can't.
No.
The boxes are heavy. They can't. A little lady trying to get that off their porch and into their.
I had one specifically home. Who was on family care. She lived on the second floor, used a walker.
Oh.
And they were ordering her the meals and they were by the front. The front vestibule.
Right.
And she had to somehow get down there and get them back up to her apartment on her own. So, yeah.
No, that
and then
work.
Our meals too is always that wellness check. That's one of the things too, to remind this, you know, they're getting checked on. Mm-hmm. We know that they're up and they're moving and they're okay, you know. So.
Just human.
But when the meals come to my brothers, they bring them to the door.
It's great.
They don't leave them out at the mailbox.
That's great.
They bring them to the door.
That's great.
So.
Yeah, we'll look into that.
I'll look into that, yeah.
Okay, so for the agency cost, I would need a motion.
I'll make a motion to
Lancaster Road outside
the go with the agency
$17.38 for the agency cost.
And that's just to, I'm going to clarify, that's just to contract with Inclusive. We'll leave my choice as is since we've been able to do that.
Yes.
Any contract I can, you know, not have to. Ian is okay. Okay, we will do that, and I will let you know. It will probably be a while. They don't come back to us very fast on that.
I'll second it.
Thank you.
Okay, I have a motion and a second on the agency cost, $17.38. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Any other questions for Courtney while she's still here? Thank you, guys. It's good to see you all.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks, Courtney.
See you at Overbrook.
Yeah. We'll be there.
Transportation.
All right. So, time of year, we need to have the resolutions for the transportation programs. What do I have on here first? I guess I've got 5311A520 first. That is the grant for the taxi program that typically we get half of our operating expenses to a certain percentage. It's usually right around 50%. And then the 85-20 gets us a little bit additional. So let me tell you what I've got budgeted because that grant amount hasn't really changed a whole heck of a lot. God, this is so small, I can't hardly read it. So I've got it budgeted at 42,525. So I had it budgeted at 46. So I'm not sure why I think it was going to go down a little bit, but I think our 8520 looked a little lower to me. So that is where we were sitting. I do use other money in that, but that's where we're sitting for the taxi. So the taxi provides services in Lancaster, Boscobel, and Fenimore. Those three cities do kick in local match up to the tune of $6,700. And then obviously we have the fares revenue. And then we do get some, we actually do get some agency revenue for those too. Family Care uses us in some of those places because obviously it's cheaper. The difference between 85 and 21, though, that 5311 is this is a public taxi. So we are obligated to serve the public. We can't limit it to just seniors and wheelchair like we do essentially with the rest of them. However, the numbers are significantly, you know, those two. I mean, we do serve the public too, but our numbers still are higher in the seniors. We could get to the point if that would stop, then I would not be able to add the 8521 to it. But so any questions on that? Are you in favor of sending that on to the board? The Grant County Board to do a grant? Okay, yes, I just need a motion to that effect.
Okay.
So moved.
And a second.
Who seconded it?
I did.
Okay, thank you.
A motion made and seconded. Approved.
Okay.
Motion, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
And then the other one is the 8521, and it does have that 20% match on the grant, as I said. That roughly has run. It changes a little bit from year to year. It's typically ran between about $125,000 to $131,000, so it's somewhere in there. So that match amount's usually in the 25-26 range. And that does cover our bus, our wheelchair van. And ooh, I got a 5-year-old driver on there. So we might have to put off on this one and talk a little bit. A little bit of the taxi and the volunteer driver escort program. I would like to include the find your own driver program within that as a pilot next year. So I'm really only going to allocate like $5,000 to it. And it's part of the existing funding. I'm not adding, it's not an add-on in any way. The wheelchair van numbers have kind of plummeted, and I think it's because that's kind of a little luxury cost if people can use it, and it's the economy hasn't been good. And when the economy's not good, people don't use those services. So we have seen, so I'm actually just using that money that would have been designated for the wheelchair van as the find your own driver. So if it becomes popular, then I may come back to you with one or the other, or we'll just offer reduced wheelchair van. The wheelchair van is really, we've got one regular participant, but the rest of it is more like somebody's got a wedding or somebody's got a funeral and they need to get, you know, a loved one there. So that's when it's used. So so any questions with that? And I apologize because I should probably ask for approval on that find your own driver program. So if you don't approve it, I'll change it. But it won't change my budget numbers at all. It'll just change where I put those numbers.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
I'd entertain a motion to approve that.
I'll make a motion.
Okay. Second.
I'll second.
Motion made and second. Approval of the 8521 resolution is find your own driver. All in favor, say aye.
Wait, I'm just using that for find your own driver. I just want to
clarify. Oh, just for your own driver? Okay.
Yeah. Valerie, did you second that?
Yes, I did.
Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Sorry, I didn't add that to the agenda in a very good place.
Okay.
So now if we go back to the 8521, you are including that in there. So you can, I would.
I'll make a motion to
approve the 8521.
8521.
Second. Motion made and seconded to approve the 8521 resolution. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All say aye. Fares scheduling fee.
Okay. I had a conversation with DOT, so I'm not sure I'm going to ask for action on this because there's a little bit of discussion on what they consider the agency fares. But I do want to see the agency fares again, which is the family care fares. Look at. So anyway, I just provided you those because I haven't for a long time. So the bus fares right now, we're getting $3 a round trip, which I understand is very cheap, but also it's probably some of our most needier people that use it, and sometimes not all of them, but some of them. And it's got our bus full again. So Dan operates with a bus with about probably 7 to 8 almost every trip, which is really nice. That just goes to, those buses go to Richland Center, they go to Dodgeville, Prairie, Platteville. Just, you know, we just keep it pretty local. They'll do, she's scheduling the Orchard trips right now, and then we do the lights in Richland Center. I think the bus program is really nice. It's I think it's just about the right amount, and it doesn't really cost us a great deal of money. So the taxi, we've already talked about. Those have been $2 a trip. Round trip is 4, extra stops are 50 cents. We are very busy in Lancaster. We are less busy in Boscobel and Fenimore, but those are half days, so we'll continue to look at that. When we did the summer promotion and we lowered it, we didn't really see a great increase in that, so I don't, and increasing it, I don't think will help at all. So the agency fares right now are at the $4 per trip, which is still, I think, cheaper than the Platteville taxi, so that's a pretty good deal. So I did propose, because we do serve the public and we also have seniors, I did propose that we leave the senior disabled rate at 4, and this is just, I just threw it out there to see what your thoughts were, and the public rate at 4.50, because we can do that. I have seen where different counties have done that. So I don't know if that's something you're interested in. It's kind of probably more a little bit more of a hassle for the driver, because then you got to kind of question people, and people don't always like to be questioned. I went to the grocery store last night, and this little sweet little clerk, and she was, but apparently it was senior citizen day, and I said, yes, we got it. And she goes, are you 62? And are you over 62? And I said, yes, and thanks for asking. Real loud so everybody can hear. You know? Thank you. So I just kind of laughed. Yeah. She was being sweet. She just wanted to give me that discount. So I don't know that that's a big deal. Our public rate isn't, you know, I don't know if it's that much. Actually, I could probably look at our transportation. What's it at here? I know I have a transportation report. I don't know if it's on there, though. Oh, no, she probably just lumps those all together. I have to split them out. But so I guess it's up to you. I've just seen some people do it. So if you think about it and you want to entertain it later, you can. I think it's a visual thing that the seniors are getting a little bit of a discount, which I think makes a difference. You know what I'm saying? Like, we haven't really changed the cost, but it looks to them like they're getting that discount, and they really are. And I think that's okay too. It's a marketing perspective. And then the trips program, again, we're reimbursing at that 35 cents a mile. And then we reimburse volunteer drivers at the IRS mileage rate. The agency fares are the IRS rate plus the scheduling fees. I would leave that for the senior citizen disabled rate because, you know, those are all medical treatments. And I don't really want that to get too overbearing for them. However, the agency rate, I think we could increase the scheduling fees there. We've had a scheduling fee of $12 for a really long time, and our wages have gone up significantly. And that's literally where Mariah spends the majority of her time. Is billing, because it's a lot of billing, and billing for the family care agencies, you got to track authorization, so it's even more complicated for those folks versus a regular person. So I definitely do think the scheduling fees could go up. What rate you want to put at that is up to you, but I mean those have not increased in several years. Like I can't even pre-pandemic, so, and I'm probably long before that. So, and then the wheelchair van, I actually had proposed that this go up, and this is where I had a conversation with DOT on something else yesterday, and it made me take a pause. So the wheelchair van right now, it was at the $16.59 an hour rate that was based on a driver wage a few years ago. That was also the agency rate. I do think the agency fare rate should increase. However, the agency rates we have always looked at as being inclusive in my choice, but IRIS is also a family in that family care realm, but it's a self-directed budget for those people. So I want to do a little more investigation whether if we say that agency rate has to go up, if it affects those IRIS participants, because they typically have a lower budget. They actually probably save money by having that IRIS program because they often contract at lower rates with family caregivers and things like that. And it wasn't clear on DOT on that. So I do want to look into that because I feel like that rate should go up, but I don't want to, I know it'll financially impact people that use our van, and I don't know if that's okay or not. I do think there, again, there should be, the proposed rate should probably go up a little bit, but I didn't put it at very much, so I'm fine with it either way. I think there needs to be the senior citizen disabled rate, and then the agency rate. So if we want to postpone looking at this, I can come back with that and then you can look at them all, then you can make a motion on all of them at once instead of piecemealing them. But I guess, what are your thoughts on any of them?
That sounds
good. Okay. Let me get a little bit more, and I'm just curious, I'm going to ask a couple other counties if they differentiate between their IRIS and their agency, because technically it's all family care and it's all Medicaid reimbursed, so we probably shouldn't. And if we shouldn't, then I don't know if I like that. Because there's not a contract with them, so but there's also not the volume with those people either. There's not as many. So we may have a contracted rate and we may just have I don't know. So I need to double check on that. So.
That FYOD, I've been on that program for 54 years. Fix your own dinner.
Is that right?
Yeah.
My brother put a red X on the calendar so that I actually fixed a meal. I said, your wife's been here to fix your meals. I've been cooking. You just haven't been up here.
There you go.
I don't cook very much. I can say that. I lived for years with a terrible, terrible kitchen when all my kids were young, and I cooked every day and did all that. And as soon as I got a new kitchen, I cooked with me. No, I hardly ever use it. I could pretty much live on popcorn every night if I needed to. And I'm close to the theater, so. I'm within walking distance, so I'll never starve. Okay, I will circle back then on the fairs for next and get you a little more information on that. Any questions on any of that? Thank you. I'm going to send these resolutions around. Would you sign them? Or I forget. Okay. One can probably move to the next one, Gary.
Okay. Is that what you want? Is that what? FYOD
program? Nope, that one we did. I switched you around on that, so we can just move right on to
approval of vouchers.
Approval of vouchers.
Okay.
Any questions on the vouchers? I don't think there's anything. I'll have any significant expenses lately, so.
Here and now, I'll make a motion to approve it.
I'll second.
Okay. Motion made and second for approval of vouchers. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same. Financial report.
All right, you should have that in front of you. We just had a comedy of errors between Courtney and I and Karen, so nobody was feeling good last week, and this week we just, I totally lost my agenda on Wednesday, and then we had, it was terrible. Any questions on the financials? I don't know that we have anything. I'll line up separately because I don't like your report very well. Well, I think we're sitting pretty well. In August, we should be at about 66%. So we're a little under. I don't know that we're over on anything except for maybe as congregate. Or congregate and home delivered are going to be a little bit different than the budgeting just because we have seen a shift from home delivered to congregate, which is good, but we just never know how that's going to go. So wish that all just fell under one budget. It'd be a lot easier, but they don't do it that way. So everything else, Ben Spec, we're a little low on, but that's because she was gone. Boss is looking about right. We've had a few, we'll get a few days where we're down a little bit. The wheelchair van, as you can see, is low. So that's why I believe there's plenty of money in there to do a find your own driver. Taxi is just a little bit under, so I think we're fine there. Trips looks good, and our trips is actually down. Trips has actually been a lot higher in the past, so we're down a little bit there. Again, I don't know why. Family caregiver looks very low, but part of that is because they spend as they need it, so it should wrap up. We have spent out our ARPA grant that we got, so that will be completely spent out. I do anticipate that we may have some money left over in our Older Americans Act that I may be obligate, just to give you a heads up on that, if we don't get any more requests. They have been trickling in, but when we get them this late in the year, the fact that they would spend them out by December would be unusual. So, and we actually got more in ARPA funding than I anticipated. that we would get. So, and we have to spend that first because that's only through September. So, so we'll see how that goes. And then Alzheimer's again looks right on track. The family caregiver just doesn't spend out because everything has to have that match attached to it. So with that 25% match, however, hopefully after tomorrow's webinar, I can move a little AFCSP as match in there and lighten up that load, and then we'll be a little more spent too. So with any luck. And then ADRC looks good. So I don't have any concerns. If you see something concerning, speak up.
Make a motion.
All right.
Awesome. Motion can be in second. Approval of the financial report. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Report. ADRC director report.
All right. It's been a busy year. I did meet with Rhonda Lechner. State's not moving quite as fast on reviewing our application as I hoped, but they have assured me that we will have the grant regardless. So I guess they can take their time as long as I know the money's there. And as I said, we were working on an MOU. We did come to an agreement, Tom and I. And so I think we'll move ahead. Hopefully it doesn't get derailed when he leaves and needs to go to his committee.
So does he run the ADRC, or do they have an ADRC director that reports to him?
They have an ADRC director that reports to him.
And how big is their staff?
Maybe you're asking more than I should. Well, she got DBS. I don't know how they hired their DBS back, though, because their DBS actually came to us. And there was some, so I don't know if they hired him back at full time. But they would have a DBS and EBS, and I think they have three INA as well. Then I think their APS folds under their ADRC, but they don't have nutrition. That's, and then their transportation is sort of separate, too. So it's quite a bit different than ours. So we'll get that MOU. That does need governing body approval, so it definitely will be coming back to you guys for review as well after Ben takes a look at it. We sold out of our farmers market. Well, we didn't sell out. We gave them out, but that was good news. So last year, I think we had just a few left. So I was glad that we got rid of them all this year. Obviously, we did the budget. I did submit the 5310 grant for Orchard Manor. I haven't heard back on anything on that. I do not anticipate getting that. Just let me qualify that. I don't think it will be due to my grant writing skills, which have been successful in the past and not always successful in the past because you don't win them all. But I don't think that we will get it because of the amount of money in the trust. So I just don't. And unfortunately, that's going to be held against them because that grant has to come here. So that's what DOT said. So it's just the way it is. But I'm willing to work with them in the future if we can help one another out. So I've been working on an MOU with Simons. I'm hoping to get that off my plate by next week. That would be for the health promotion workshops that they provide us. There was just a few things happening that I didn't think met with our requirements, so we had a meeting on that. We did the outreach at the car show, very nice. DBS stuff, Medicare open enrollment is going to be starting up in October. That is a very busy time of year for us. We are already starting to get phone calls on it, and word is out that Emily is back, so there are.
How many people work on that?
Just Emily. But she's got a really good system down. And we served everybody that called us last year. So, and of course, not everybody does call us. Some people are, we put something in the newsletter that gives all the resources out there that people can use. And we're just one of those resources. But She doesn't do all in person. She saves in person appointments for people that really have a hard time on the phone or whatever. But a lot of it can be done through the mail and on the phone. She can run those plans. She sends them to them. They look at them. And then oftentimes it's just a simple phone call and she can take care of it. And we can serve everybody much, much faster than we used to. When we had straight in-person appointments, we didn't serve as many people and it was very taxing on everybody. So she gets a lot through. And it's, I've had no complaints on it. So it's worked out pretty good. I had to do, Horace budgets are weird. We have to do a final budget for 25 and, you know, August and September. I don't know why. I think the budget numbers for the feds come in late, and so the contracts aren't official until we have those numbers. And so we always have to do a final budget, but it's always kind of a goofy when you're more than halfway through the year to be submitting a budget on that year. It's like, okay. And then we did get a couple of grants that come late for nutrition and SHIP. So Elderfest setup is happening. We are working on that as we speak. So anybody willing to volunteer, I'll take you up on it. So I'll just, Kathy, you said you would. Mark, you told me you would.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
When is
it is next week.
October 24th. Oh my god, that's one of my
calendar. And it's 9 to 11:30. So I can talk to you a little bit about it afterwards, but so the theme is Wicked or Wizard of Oz. We're staying with the themes. For now, I'm glad I don't have too much time here. I can't be doing these themes 10 years down the road, but I don't know. We didn't intend to do them forever, but then every year people are like, we like the themes, and the vendors like the themes. I think the vendors just like to have something to, you know, flashy to do too. Yep. So the vendors enjoy the themes, and the people like the themes. So I got a theme for this year, and I think I got one for next year, and then... And then it's all on the next person. I've been trying, next year might be the baseball theme because I've been trying to get the Wienermobile to come out here forever. So I wanted them at the Orchard Van car show. Just haven't got them. We just don't have quite enough people that attend that to get that. I've tried. I've tried to get on their schedule early on, but they don't. I can't get them. So Elderfest has a little better attention, you know, better. We'll see. I think that would be funny. I think there's a lot of people like myself who grew up with that, seeing that, but that would find that amusing. So that might be give you a clue to the theme for next year, but that's where we're at. With everything, the program report, I did give you the other part of the program report, which apparently there was a glitch when she printed it. And I had that same glitch this morning when I went to print it. And I don't think Karen realized it because she had kind of a rough week too. So I did, with the program report, the elder benefit specialist numbers, just ignore those. I had a meeting with the other EBSs in the region and Mary Mesera. And they're still saying that the EBS numbers aren't even close to accurate, and there's monetary impact numbers that aren't right. And so I encouraged everybody to reach out and let them, the quality team, know that we need those numbers to be accurate, because, again, I don't think you should be moving forward with more reporting if we haven't gotten enough regular reporting right. And today, I am going to go back and look at some, because when I looked at INA numbers, there were some discrepancies between, I looked back for June and then they didn't match up to some of my numbers, and I don't know how they could get changed, and I didn't change them. So I'm going to go back and look at that. So you can't really compare them to like last year's numbers, because it's not apples to apples. So another year from now, you know, we can, but we've been busy. I think we've seen maybe a slight decrease. My staff seem, the INA staff seem slightly a little more relaxed than normal, but usually. but we're still getting, I mean, we have walk-ins every day. It's still very, very busy. So, and open enrollment will heighten that. I am concerned a little bit about open enrollment because I'm seeing some numbers batted around from anywhere for big increases in premiums. So that concerns me. So that could be. And that might send more people to us if they're, you know, I think some people, if they see a slight increase, they just go with it and they don't do anything with their Part D. But they see a 20% increase, they might be calling for more help. So, and I don't know how that's going to go. I've just been seeing those numbers lately in the news. And, I, you know, you just don't know until it happens what it's going to be. So there's been some possible discussions. There's been some stuff batted around too over what's available in the northern part of the county since Amplify has taken over Gunderson. So I don't know if that's going to be impactful for anybody or not, but it could be too. So, and those are all things that then do impact Emily. So any questions on any of the reports or the program reports?
That's it. Entertain them. Welcome to adjourn.
Welcome to adjourn.
Back up. Motion made and second. Adjourn. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Thank you very much.
So the prices are out there coming in. Medicare 20. Yes. No, I mean, I was just looking at